Book Nook on WISO is presented by the Greene County Public Library, with additional support from Wright Memorial Public Library, Clark County Public Library, Tipp City Public Library, Dayton Metro Library, and Washington Centerville Public Library.
Good morning. Welcome to the Best of the Book Nook on WYSO. I'm Vic McCunis. If you have been listening to the show for a while, we've been doing it since 1994, you might have noticed that I have a thing for former President Richard M. Nixon. And some people have made the mistake of thinking that I liked him. Well, I didn't really like him. I'm just fascinated by him, though. And the thing that really got me about Richard Nixon was during the time he was president, the editorial cartoonists had an absolute field day with him, with caricaturing him and drawing pictures of him. And I don't think we ever really experienced anything like that again until Donald Trump. We have entered a golden age of editorial cartooning right now with Donald Trump. The cartoonists are just going wild drawing editorial cartoons of him. I love it. That's about the only thing I love about this particular period in history. But, you know, it's a cool thing. So back in 2003, I had an editorial cartoonist on, a guy named Tom Tomorrow. You remember him? Well, he's still around. His real name is Dan Perkins. But he was big in 2003, and he's still pretty big. He still does his stuff. And back in 2003, we recorded this interview on 9/11, exactly 2 years after the tragedy of those jets hitting the World Trade Centers and the Pentagon and crashing in Pennsylvania. And we talked about 9/11. We talked about politics. And as you listen to this, just think about where we are today and how we have come out of this previous period, and a lot of these aspects and issues of politics have gotten far worse. Let's listen now. Here's Tom Tomorrow on the Best of the Book Nook.
2 years ago today, you looked out from your residence there and you saw the World Trade Center and you took a photo of it.
Yeah, that was... That was actually a day a lot like today. It's been kind of a strange day. It was this really beautiful fall day, and I was actually in the park nearby walking my dog in the morning and heard, I guess it must have been the second plane hit, although obviously no one had any idea what it was at the time. It sounded like sounded like the noise that a flatbed truck makes when it goes over a pothole, except a really, really large flatbed truck. And then we walked home, and there was smoke in the sky, and went up to the roof. And, everybody knows what happened from there.
And instead of a cartoon that day, you published your photo.
Yeah, well, it didn't really seem that a cartoon would be appropriate. I felt for a while, I wasn't really sure how cartoons were ever going to be appropriate again, but I think, as it turned out, they are.
You were criticized for doing that by some.
For the photograph?
Yeah.
That's news to me.
Weren't you criticized?
Oh, no, I know what you're talking about. Well, I was... I got a... The strange thing that happened immediately that day was that people started sending me email, conservatives started sending me email blaming me, effectively blaming liberalism for the actions of these people who, of course, were conservative religious fundamentalists within their own culture. The equivalent of the people in our culture who go around shooting abortion doctors or whatever. Somebody responded to that cartoon by saying, I'm surprised at your reaction. Do you mean you actually like this country? Mm-hmm. Which I just found just beneath contempt.
My guest is Tom Tomorrow. His book is The Great Big Book of Tomorrow. I was torn between laughing as I read your book and crying because...
Well, you know, laughter is the best medicine.
Yeah. I love your artwork, and your viewpoints really strike a chord with me. And I have to wonder, going through this collection, because it goes back to your earliest days, you must really miss certain people, like, say, Newt Gingrich.
No, I don't. And anyway, Newt's still around. I think I'm fine with Newt not being in office anymore. And honestly, I'll be perfectly fine when George W. Bush gets his gold watch and his retirement check and heads off to Crawford, which is actually that whole ranch thing is actually a little Potemkin village. He bought that right after he was elected so that he would have a folksy setting on which for reporters to describe him going around clearing the underbrush or whatever.
So he took a page from Ronald Reagan.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Except I think Reagan actually owned that place that he, beforehand, that he would go back to.
Mm-hmm. LBJ, too.
Yeah.
You have some scary but funny takes on President Bush and the bit about the evil twin, the bit about the aliens, the bizarro Bush.
Which, if people aren't familiar with the work, they'll have no idea what you're talking about, and those are all sort of hard to describe if you can't show the cartoon. So, yeah.
We every day open the newspaper and get more disturbing news. Obviously, there aren't any cartoons in here relative to the war in Iraq or to...
The last part deals with the build-up to the war in Iraq, mm-hmm. but a book, especially a book from a large publishing house, it's like a giant ocean liner or something. The publishing house, that is, not the book, so everything has to be done really far in advance. A lot of that stuff, I don't remember exactly, but I think the newest stuff at the end is almost a year old now.
You have certain ideas that you go back to over and over again, and one of them is consumerism, and I had to think as I was reading those strips about consumerism that this $87 billion request that the president made a few days ago is the ultimate in consumerism.
Yeah, well, if you look at consumerism as people selling you something you don't need or really want for far too much money, then that certainly does fit the bill, doesn't it?
What are your thoughts on the current situation? I'm sure you have some.
That's a very broad question.
That's the way we like them.
What are your thoughts on the issues?
you're the pundit now.
Oh dear. Which aspect of the current situation would you like to discuss?
Anyone that is on your mind at the moment?
Well,
is it hard to decide what to do a cartoon on? You've got so many choices.
Yeah, well, that is a really strange phenomena, because at other points, certainly during the Clinton administration, there was no lack for material, but sometimes the material got a bit obscure when you're discussing the fine points of trade policy or of healthcare reform or something like that. Whereas with the Bush administration, you pick up the newspaper, and there's 10 different things on the front page.
Okay, I'm just going to throw out a topic for you, and you can say what you want. How about this one, the Patriot Act?
Quite a name, isn't it? How could you oppose the Patriot Act?
Well, today is Patriots Day, you know.
Yeah. No, it's well. There's a thing. They're currently, of course, Bush is pushing to expand this, and one of the ways in which they're expanding the overall domestic surveillance is a new, almost Stalin-esque, color-coded grading system for travelers. So I believe it's green, yellow, and red. They're collecting information. I mean, this is the astonishing part. They're collecting information from private companies, that sort of databases. And anyone who's ever fought a mistake on their credit report or even on their credit card bill or anything like that knows how. I mean, you know, during the 60s, when people didn't really understand computers or what that was all about, there used to be the phrase of, it's the computer's fault, as if it was just some strange malevolent entity out there doing these things. But in fact, people might still think that way, but I think people understand much more that nothing goes into a computer that some human being didn't put in there, and human beings, especially human beings in data collecting bureaucracies, are as prone to error or as fallible, you know, as human beings. That wasn't quite right, but. Anyway, so clearly there's going to be a lot of bad data out there, but they're collecting all of this. There's no safeguard. There's no intent to ensure that any of the information is correct. And if they have some reason, if you come up red flagged for some reason, you will either be picked out for special scrutiny or simply not allowed to fly. And I read something yesterday that they were estimating, I believe it was in the Washington Post, they were estimating several million Americans will simply not be allowed to fly, and they won't even be able to find out why. That's not America. What is that? Are we going to have passports now to travel from state to state? I mean, I'm too angry to even come up with the right phrase. We're throwing the baby out with the entire bathtub and most of the kitchen as well.
Well, in China, they're going with a universal ID card. It sounds like.
Yeah, and that's great because we're going to live up to the fabulous democratic ideals as represented by China pretty
mm-hmm.
soon.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's terrible idea. It's just astonishing to me. The various, and you know, they keep trying to push through these various things, and they keep getting pushed back. Patriot Act, there is kind of fighting for its life right now. There was the terrorist information awareness, was that it?
TIP.
There's TIP also, the one that was going to encourage us all to snitch on our neighbors.
Uh-huh.
And that got knocked back. I mean, clearly, we live in different times now, and we do need heightened security at airports and so forth, but it seems kind of common sense to me that you also don't want to have a system in place that is not responsible, that you can't appeal it, that you can't find out why you've been red flagged. That's not accountable. That's what I'm trying to say. You don't want this entirely unaccountable system in place because, innocent people could, and I will, in fact, go so far out on a limb right now as to say absolutely will be swept up in this thing.
That's a limb that's swinging in the wind.
We're in triage mode right now. We just really need to get those people out of office. They have been. You know, the events that occurred 2 years ago today freed them up to pursue their most radical agenda, things they sort of fantasized about. The whole Iraq war was strongly advocated by numerous members of the administration throughout the 90s when they were part of a think tank called Project for a New American Century.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as the towers were hit, I mean, on the very day, on this very, probably right about this time of day 2 years ago, Donald Rumsfeld is sitting in his office writing memos instructing his staff to figure out if we can use this as an excuse to hit Iraq. I mean, that's just astonishing to me. And now here we are 2 years later, and according to the Washington Post poll that just came out, 70% of the American people believe that Saddam was behind 9/11.
Nobody believes the polls. and it's that liberal media that's created this impression, right?
Yeah, well, yeah, that so-called liberal media.
Mm-hmm. They've done it.
They did a heck of a job in the run-up to the war, didn't they? It's only been in the past few months that the Democrats have even begun to develop a hint of a spine. And that's sort of, I think, what's what's driving this recent turn where the media are being a bit more critical than they were, a few months ago when the drumbeat for war was growing louder and anyone who questioned it was tarred unpatriotic.
Back in 1992, when the Clinton-Gore ticket took the White House, were you hopeful that maybe this would be a good thing?
I didn't. Well, we have to go back, and we have to remember that Bush Sr., despite the first Gulf War, Bush Sr., we had just been through a 12-year Republican regime, and B, Bush Sr., was a compared to his son, he was a moderate Democrat, frankly.
Mm-hmm.
So we weren't, seemed bad enough at the time, but we were nowhere near where we are now. And the things that seemed bad to me were things that Clinton was going to come in and pretty much take the same positions on. He pretty much agreed with Bush Sr. on trade policy issues, NAFTA, and that sort of thing. Clinton was the guy who came in campaigning on a pledge to end welfare as we know it. I mean, this was a Nixon goes to China moment. This is something that Republicans had fantasized about, since welfare was created, and it took a Democrat to come in and effectively dismantle it. So I was a little concerned that we were going to get Republican policies in Democratic clothing, and I think I would still argue that that's a lot of what happened. Now, having said that, again, as I say, Bush Jr. is just so radical, such a radical president, such a radical administration, what can I say? I've been beat down at this point. Clinton looks awfully good in retrospect. Huh. I mean, I'm not saying that I agree with a lot of what he did, but we really, we're really in a lesser of two evils situation right now, and it's quite a difference.
When we go back, we had a national tragedy a number of years ago that many people remember, and that was the Oklahoma City bombing. And you did a cartoon about that. And I think when we think back to the Oklahoma City bombing, we don't really see it clearly anymore.
What do you mean by that?
Well, when we look at Timothy McVeigh and the people that were involved and what they did and what their politics were, I think that we forget just what extremists they were.
Yeah, there are also people on the right who periodically try to link McVeigh to Saddam, for instance, or Al-Qaeda. So there are people who try to wrap it all up in a neat little bundle and ignore the fact that we had and have that kind of extremism. We've just been fortunate fortunate being a perhaps not the best word to use, but at any rate, I suppose, fortunate that it hasn't been any worse, that we haven't seen anything on the scale of September 11th.
When I had Ann Coulter on the program, I had a really difficult time getting her to answer questions. She's quite vigorous in her squirming, and I tried to pin her down on that quote that she supposedly made about her only problem with Timothy McVeigh was that he didn't
blow up the New York Times.
Right.
Yeah.
And she wouldn't give me a straight answer to that question, but it seems to
be...
Well,
the story that came from, the reporter was actually quite sympathetic. It was actually a puff piece, so it's highly unlikely that he made that up.
Mm-hmm. Well, the politics of hatred seems to be very much in vogue, and she's a very big mover.
She's the queen of it.
I'd like to talk a little bit about your technique. How do you create these cartoons?
With skill and determination.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure of that. But you have this style, and I know you were inspired at one point by old Life magazines. But I'm wondering how much.
Well, for a long time, I incorporated actual photocopied imagery into the cartoon. These days, I Everything is created digitally. I have this little drawing tablet I hold in my lap. I kind of sit back with my feet up on the desk. I'm sure it's terrible posture. And I have this little drawing tablet, and it has a special pen, and what you draw on the tablet shows up on the screen. So I'll work from photographs or just freehand sketch these things basically directly into the computer. So there is no original artwork anymore.
Mm-hmm. I love the cover on your new book. You've got all these politicos on here, and they seem to be connected by various alien devices.
It's the great big book of tomorrow, and I was thinking in terms of a 30s science fiction pulp magazine cover. So they all have wires and tubes and various devices and shirts with enormous pointed shoulder pads, and I was just playing on the notion of it being the astonishing world of tomorrow.
Gotcha. Tell us about the penguin.
I need it. The cartoon has a talking penguin who wears silly looking wraparound sunglasses and who appears to be the only character in the strip that is aware that he's a character in the strip. He's the character that the term in theater is breaking down the fourth wall when you talk directly to the audience. And if I want to break down the fourth wall, he's the character that I use, because I did have this very specific stylized universe I'd created with these 50s happy talking head clip art kinds of guys. Isn't the president a brilliant man? You know, that sort of thing. Very happy consumers of politics and BS and so on. So I needed a character who kind of looked like he had wandered in from some other cartoon. And I just always had a little penguin fetish. I always, when I was a kid, wanting to be a cartoonist, I literally always sat around sketching out these strange-looking little penguins. So when it came time to introduce a character, there just was not any question in my mind. It had to be a penguin.
I tried to identify as many of these people on the cover as I could, and I can see Ronald Reagan clear back there in the distance. I think Sam Donaldson's back there, Don Rumsfeld. I don't see Bush Sr. in here. Is he in here?
Yeah, he's immediately to the left of Sparky wearing green.
Oh, he's got the helmet on.
He's got a helmet on.
Okay. Well, normally you're spot on, and I recognize every single one, and I missed him.
Yeah, so, well, there he is.
I now recognize Hillary. She's got the little
Newt
helmet on. He's got a helmet, too. This one guy looks really familiar to me with the sort of bishop's green helmet on the left.
That's Ken Starr.
Okay. I thought for a second he was Senator Eastland. I thought, well, how? why would he be in there? And then you have these cute little cars floating up above, and I remember those cars, but they had wheels, of course.
Yeah, well, this is the futuristic version of the Nash Metropolitan, which is the, I'm not sure if any of those cartoons made it in here, but that is the official car that Sparky drives when he drives a car, is a two-tone 1959 Nash Metropolitan.
Okay, and then on the back...
And actually, if you look very, very closely, that's Blinky the dog driving the car.
Okay.
Which is where he makes his appearance on the cover. That's the beauty of Photoshop, when you can blow up the image about 1,000 times and put in these tiny little details that no one will ever, ever see.
Now, is Blinky based on your own dog?
No. Blinky, literally, he's a bit of clip art. He was just a really weird-looking dog I ran across once and just immediately knew I had to incorporate him somehow, so he became Blinky the Very Nice Dog.
In the back?
He's the counterpoint to Sparky's cynicism. Blinky says things like, well... That sounds like a very nice idea.
In the back, you've got a photo of your dog standing next to it. It looks like a little Nipper.
It's a thing I picked up at a flea market once. It is, in fact, a big plastic version of the RCA dog.
His master's voice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Little Nipper. Well, this is really a fun book, and it helped me to get a wider view of. Where you've come from and how you've developed as a cartoonist. I have to wonder, with the Patriot Act and our freedoms seemingly being constricted, do you ever get paranoid? Do you ever get scared about expressing your views?
You know, if it gets to that point, then we're all just so thoroughly hosed that it's really, you know, I think of that the way I kind of think of the argument that we, however you feel about gun control, there is this one argument that we can't have gun control because it will keep the government off our backs. And honestly, the government's going to have a lot more guns than you know, Joe down the street with his shotgun. And that's just not going to, it doesn't matter. That's not going to be the thing that keeps you free and safe. I'm from your own government. I'm sorry to tell you. I'm sorry to disabuse anyone of the notion, but the government, if you're standing out there making your last stand, the government is going to crush you like a bug. So the point being, it's the same thing. If it ever gets to that point, we're all just in such serious trouble anyway.
Mm-hmm.
It was a weird time 2 years ago in the immediate aftermath when you did have the White House press secretary saying things like people better watch what they say, and people were emailing me almost on a daily basis accusing me of, you know, effectively of treason.
Mm.
And that was pretty exhausting, I have to say. But people, you know, this country rebounds. We're going to look back, we're going to say, gosh, that was a really dark time. But we do always muddle through, and I am fundamentally optimistic that we will muddle through this and eventually regain our sanity.
You've been listening to the Best of the Book Nook on WYSO, going back to 9/11 in 2003, when I talked to the cartoonist Tom Tomorrow, his real name is Dan Perkins, about his book, The Great Big Book of Tomorrow. He's still around. At the end of our conversation, he said he hoped that eventually we would regain our sanity. Ooh, not sure if that's happened yet, Tom, or if we're even close to that politically. You're listening to 91.3 WYSO, connecting our community through news, music, and storytelling on the air and online. And Tom Tomorrow had a great sense of humor during that interview, even though we were talking about some kind of depressing things. And I really do believe we are in a golden age of editorial cartooning. And the other aspects that have changed since 2003 are the video aspects. Have you seen these Lego videos that are circulating around? Man, those are pretty amazing. I don't think artificial intelligence is a good thing for me personally, but you can do some fairly amazing things with it. If I had any idea what I was doing, I would be making videos with artificial intelligence with all my friends in them, and they would just love it. They would love having me do stuff with them. I'm just kidding. You've been listening to the Best of the Book Nook once again. That was Tom Tomorrow, going back to 2003. And we're going to continue with the Book Nook next week. It comes your way every Saturday morning at 7 and every Sunday morning at 10:30. And they are entirely different programs. We also have over 1,200 interviews archived at wyso.org. Thanks for listening.